When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.
There's been an awful lot of discussion in recent days and weeks about road deaths. And one of the things when you begin to look into the figures that is a seemingly intractable problem is how significant a contributor alcohol is to all of the various different categories of road deaths. So when you look at the RSA's numbers, one of the things that they say is that about 2 out of every 5 drivers who are killed have been drinking. 9 out of 10 of them are men. 3/4 are under the age of 45. And when you look at the blood alcohol limit, 2/3 of them have a blood alcohol 3 times the legal limit. And the vast majority of those deaths then are people who have single vehicle accidents. They are simply drunk and drive into things. Likewise, when you look at pedestrian data, 7 out of the 10 pedestrians who are killed have a blood alcohol of more than 3 times the limit. 4 out of 10, 5 times the legal limit. Now, of course, legal limit doesn't apply when you are a pedestrian. But the RSA says that to the order of 3/4 of pedestrians are culpable in their own accidents. In other words, they step out into the street without looking, they fall over, they pass out on the street. And I'm not using that facetiously or not using that lightly. 1 out of 10 pedestrians killed in road traffic incidents were asleep in the street at the time of the accident. So alcohol, a major problem there. Alcohol then a significant problem in public order offences and deaths in general, so much so that Alcohol Action Ireland say that about 1,500 people a year, that's roughly 4 a day, die thanks to alcohol. I'm joined by Sheila Gilheaney, who is CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland, and also by Chris Luke, who's a columnist for the Irish Medical Times. But Chris spent his career in emergency medicine and has a huge amount of experience in dealing with the sequelae of alcohol use. And we will talk to Chris in a second. Before that, Sheila, those numbers in relation to road safety, alcohol, a huge problem.
Absolutely huge, you know, and we can see that from the data from the RSA. And I suppose when we look at that kind of data, we want to compare with other countries and sort of see, well, you know, why is it high here and what can we do and what would make it a difference? And we know there was a very large study actually done across all the EU countries back in 2017, looked at data going back to 1999. And what they found was that the level of alcohol consumption in a country was directly related to the level of fatalities on the road that was there. And that was especially true for young men. And that doesn't surprise me, because when you look at the drinking profile for young men, it's very problematic. So there's high levels of binge drinking. There's large amounts of alcohol being consumed at any one time. And when you drill down even further, if you look at that age group, 15 to 24 year olds, about 37% would have an alcohol use disorder. So
say this again.
Yeah. So in the age group, 15 to 24 year olds, 37% would have an alcohol use disorder.
2 out of 5 people between 15 and late 30s, 2 out of 5 have an alcohol use disorder.
Who are drinkers, sorry. So of those who drink, who are aged 15 to 24 year olds, they would have 37% would have an alcohol use disorder. So those are very frightening figures when you look at it. And it's why we have to take alcohol as a problem very seriously. And we know that there are things that can be done to bring down that overall alcohol use in the country. And they are straightforward and they've been seen to work in other countries. And they are controls on prices and controls on advertising, marketing and controls on availability. And one of the things we've been talking about a lot recently is that we have a lot of alcohol available to us at very cheap prices. There is concern, in fact, that we would see an increase in licensing hours. And we know there's a direct relationship between increased licensing hours, increased availability and road safety. Very good study in Norway that showed that in rural areas, you would see up to a 30% increase in road collisions for every 1 hour of an extension to licensing hours. So those are things that when we're putting together laws, I suppose, around alcohol, that you have to take everything in the round. You need to look at the entire picture. So you might think about, well, extending licensing hours, even by an hour, sure, that wouldn't make much of a difference. But actually, when you drill into it, it does make a difference.
But it does mean, therefore, if I have the inference correct, that when we look at road deaths, we have an overlapping problem. We have a driver behaviour problem to some extent, but we also have an alcohol problem that is manifesting in road death.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, and when we look at those deaths that occur across the year, so this is data from the Global Burden of Disease study, and they found, as you say, about 1,500 deaths every year. But about a third of those deaths are what you would call incident. So they're things like road deaths or, you know, falls, people drowning, people, you know, perhaps getting into some sort of altercation. And very sadly as well, suicide would fall into that. So their death, there's about a third of those deaths, is about 500 or so deaths a year arise from what you would call incident.
When you do the comparison then with road safety, we have concerns at road death numbers currently running around the 180-ish per annum. That means that we are losing more than double that, nearly triple that in alcohol-related deaths, and not from cancers, not from cirrhosis, not from long-term chronic issues, from people who are killed immediately and acutely by virtue of drink. How come there isn't an outcry?
I honestly find that very hard to understand why there isn't. But, you know, possibly it's because it gets blurred into, oh, it's a discussion about road safety, or it's a discussion about maybe safety around, you know, waterways need to be better protected or something like that, which of course they do. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. But somehow the central role that alcohol has in this gets wiped away. And I think part of that is because of our relationship with alcohol, and our relationship with alcohol, the way we view it, the way we see it as a kind of an essential element to any day, any time, that is set by the alcohol industry. That's set by the level of alcohol marketing that we see. We're set, especially when you look at things like the sponsorship of sporting events, as being somehow essential to our enjoyment of sport, that alcohol comes with, you know, with that. So our behaviour comes from the environment in which we find ourselves in. And that behaviour is driven by, as I say, three things: the pricing, the availability and the marketing of this product.
And can I just check, my understanding is, because whenever you talk about this, there is a sense that it is the Irish curse, that it has ever been thus. But as I understand it, we have actually had a significant increase in alcohol consumption over the last 50 to 60 years.
Yeah, so if you go back and look at what we were drinking back in the 1960s, we were actually drinking about half the amount that we're drinking today. Now, it is true, so we didn't change as a nation, like our genes didn't change dramatically or anything like that. What did change was that alcohol became cheaper, it became much more widely available, particularly through supermarkets, and it became more acceptable, again, through a huge amount of increase in marketing. But, you know, so it reached a peak in the early 2000s. It was actually, we were drinking three times as much as we were back in the 1960s. It has come down a bit, you know, since then, but it's still at a very, very high level. And particularly here in Ireland, as well as drinking a lot, we also drink a lot on any one occasion. So we have very high levels of binge drinking. We're across OECD countries, we're about the eighth highest in that area.
Which goes back to those RSA numbers. I mean, pedestrians are five times the legal drinking limit that you have drivers. When they have a blood alcohol level, it is often north of three times the legal limit when the accident occurs. Let me bring in Chris Luke, because Chris, you spent a long time at the pointy edge of all of this. Sheila was describing the 500 acute deaths effectively per annum. So drowning, suicide, road deaths. What was the experience of that? And what's the experience of alcohol harm from an A&E consultant perspective?
Well, Anton, you know, there's, as Sheila suggests, there's a vast amount of alcohol-related cases, you know, that we see at the front line, but also in chronic care, community care, and then beyond into oncology. In the emergency department, you have sort of four categories of people coming in as a result of drink. You have people who are acutely drunk. You've got people who have been drinking for years and who have the complications of that, like liver dysfunction and strokes and blood pressure problems and dereliction and homelessness. Then you've got the kind of withdrawal cases, people who suddenly stop drinking, perhaps because they've got another illness like pneumonia, or they've been assaulted, for example, on the street. You know, you have somebody who's homeless, who's always drinking on a daily basis. He gets assaulted, gets kicked, is brought into the emergency department, has a head injury, has concussion. He's stitched up, and then he's parked along with all the other trolleys on the corridor. And then sometime several hours later, he has a generalized convulsion because a lot of withdrawal features, you know, a jitteriness, both in terms of the brain and in the heart. And, you know, you can have either acute cardiac arrest or stroke or most often a seizure. And of course, withdrawal is very, very dangerous. But, you know, there's a sort of between 1 and 10% fatality rate with withdrawal. And then, of course, perhaps the most tragic of the four categories are the third party victims. And, you know, as we all know in Ireland, probably the most tragic are the children and the children and the partners of people who have chronic alcohol use disorder, which relates, you know, results in violence and so forth, but also people on the street. And then, of course, the people who are mown down by people who are intoxicated on the roads, and on it goes. But if you were to look, I suppose, I mean, you've already had a lot of statistics, but in a nutshell, probably three quarters of people who present to emergency departments in our urban city centre departments after midnight on a Saturday, Sunday, Friday would be intoxicated. Up to three quarters of assault victims, over 50% of serious road crashes, a quarter of deaths on the roads, and you know the drownings that we hear about, you know, in the rivers, for example, you know, these terrible drownings, the hot weather, young teenage boys or young adult males, you know, leap into the refreshing water, and of course, you know, they often drown because of cold shock or whatever. So, you know, a huge amount of the acute and the long-term workload is related to alcohol. And I suppose the thing I shouldn't forget, because it's only beginning to percolate in terms of our awareness, is the relationship between alcohol and cancer. So, you know, I know the oncologists are talking a lot about that recently, but, you know, from colon to breast, there are very substantial relationships between, you know, chronic heavy alcohol use and cancers, some cancers.
And do you become disheartened by it, Chris? Because I assume if you're an emergency medical consultant and you walk into the A&E and you know that from now for the next 8 hours of a Friday night, three quarters of what I deal with will be the result of intoxication. If you know that all of your colleagues, as you described across oncology and everything else, are going to be mopping up the effects of this, does it become frustrating?
Well, you know, I suppose, Anton, that I'm one of those sort of frogs in the pan of water that's sort of steadily heated until it's boiling and barely notices, you know, except towards the end of your career when you're pretty exhausted. But, you know, as Sheila suggested, this is part of Irish culture. And the one thing I would suggest, I always have to remind people that before we had the alcohol industry, and everything she says about alcohol in terms of its availability and advertising are absolutely true. But of course, before that, we had, you know, DIY, you know, poutine and so forth. So even if they couldn't buy it, the Irish were making it hundreds of years ago. And I know there's a pretty sustainable philosophical argument that, you know, many, many Irish people suffer from social anxiety. And of course, this famous intergenerational trauma that goes back to the famine, goes back to the Civil War, the War of Independence, goes back to, you know, repeated invasions, and on it goes. And you could also say that perhaps because we're an island nation, that in addition to endless invasion that we have, we're like the Brits, we're just different from the continentals, and we just prefer, we do everything to excess.
Chris, thank you. That's Chris Luke, who is columnist of the Irish Medical Times and retired consultant in emergency medicine. To go back to Sheila Gilheaney, the CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland, one fundamental at the heart of all this, Sheila, how is it that quite rightly we get very concerned about road deaths when there are 180 a year? We get concerned about drownings when there's 120 or 140. The one thing that we don't seem to ever nationally be able to get really worried about is something that acutely kills 500 people every year and chronically 1,500.
I put this down to the power of the alcohol industry to perennially put forward this product as being a safe product, as being essential product, as being part and parcel of our everyday life. I think there's a need for an office for alcohol harm reduction, which would actually really look at all elements of alcohol in the round and coordinate across governments so you wouldn't have, you know, mismatches like where we have, for example, the Department of Health trying to reduce alcohol use, and we have the Department of Justice who are currently actually trying to increase the availability of alcohol through the Sale of Alcohol Bill. So I think there's a need for greater coherency across government and to really drive change. And change is possible. I firmly believe that because we've seen the change from tobacco.
Sheila, thank you very much. Sheila Gilheaney there, CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.